Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach Arskadin coming to you live from Shreveport, Louisiana. And this week, we are focusing in on entering in the new day as we have gone through our study of the midnight and the night watches, as we finished up the midnight watch, and understanding how, as a board, has positioned us to take back the night, of how we can do that through prayer intercession during the awakenings, seasons, and times that the Lord has petitioned us to awaken. And today we want to just have the simple reminder of, as we begin a new day, what is our purpose? What is our reasoning for having joy, having hope, for getting out and standing on the wall and continuing to be on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President? And it's the simple reminder of even what Jesus spoke to the disciples of how they should pray in Matthew 6. And I want to just focus on verse 10 of in the Lord's Prayer, or more so the disciples' prayer. It is, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And it's just a simple reminder. Sometimes we just need that simple reminder to remind ourselves of some things. And I want to read in the Amplified Version the kind of the descriptors of what it means, of what we're saying here. And for the first portion of "Your kingdom come," in the Amplified, it talks about it's a plea for God's kingdom to be inaugurated on earth, for it to literally come down and be inaugurated. And then it goes on, and for the notes in the "Your will be done," it says, "including what God wishes to be done by the individual believer, his commands and precepts." And as we're reminded ourselves to be ambassadors, to be priests for his kingdom, that's the simple reminder that the Amplified points out very, very clearly of how we're to be obedient, not slaves, but be obedient to what the Lord is telling us to do. And Chuck points out in his book, as he continues in chapter 4, he says, and this is as for intercessors and the new church, and a portion of this comes out of his the Future War of the Church. And I just want to read two portions of this. He says, "As we stand in intercession, we are seeing the church's identity change. A new day is breaking in their life of the church in this season. We are moving from our normal mentality of church on Sunday to unlocking God's kingdom plan in the earth realm. The church exists to see the kingdom established and operating in the earth realm. The kingdom is within us, but must be unlocked." He goes on to continue to say, and this is the last portion I want to read for today. He says, "Church means those called to accomplish something, or a group called out for a purpose. The church is moving from just a group who fellowship to becoming a victorious war instrument in the earth realm. We are building for the future. We are learning to bind and loose. We are seeing what God has stored in heavenly places for this season and calling it from heaven into the earth realm. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are looking up into heaven and seeing the it that the Lord wants us to agree with and declare it with manifest. It will manifest in the earth." And it's just a simple reminder for us of why we're here, why we're standing, why we're praying, why we're going through these growth pains, birthing pains in this season, so that his kingdom can come here on earth. And as we be and are those representatives for his kingdom on earth, of understanding of why we have to be patient, be a sober mind, and live out and walk out the fruits of the Spirit, and not just, you know, go to church just to punch our social card, as in seasons past. And that's it's a call for everyone involved in the body of Christ and on the earth as well. All right. Now, with that, today, as we've entered into a new day, we want to really be aware of what the president and the administration is doing on some issues, and to fully understand the full aspects of some things going on. So I want to talk about some things that are happening in the Middle East with this administration. So we've talked about how the administration is in talks, and we followed this story along, with Iran to get back into the Iran nuclear deal that Trump pulled out of, because he knew the Iranians were not holding to that agreement to begin with. Everyone knew that that wasn't going to happen. And some interesting news has come out recently that Iran has compiled enough uranium to be able to build an atomic bomb. This is being reported from the UN, from their watchdog agency that goes in and inspects. And the problem with this is that right now they are at 60% capability of being able to enrich uranium. If they get to 90 and they compile everything, and who knows, they possibly could have the capabilities to be able to do that. They have a nuclear weapon. Who knows what they're going to do with it. And so NBC is reporting this story, and pretty much everybody out there is reporting this, that this has been confirmed to happen. And even the subtitle there of the UN nuclear watchdog also said Tehran has failed to offer credible explanations about nuclear material found at several sites in recent years, meaning they're not adhering to the Iran nuclear deal that they supposedly are negotiating to want to get back into. Part of the reason to do that is to remove sanctions, to remove the IRGC off of the terrorist watch list that America currently has them on, and a host of other problems. But the reality that they are one step closer to a potential nuclear bomb is very, very alarming. If you've ever followed and heard Bering and Batya Segal, they actually do a great job of following this stuff closer than we do. And he warned of this about a year and a half ago. Look, they're at 60%. It's not a far jump from 60 to 90%. It's a hard jump from 20 to 30 to 40. It's harder there because of the materials and things that you need. But once you hit that 60 threshold, it doesn't take much. And basically, the UN and their watchdog agency, the International Atomic Energy Agency, is saying this is alarming. If the UN is saying this is alarming, yeah, every red flag in every country needs to be going up. So something we want to be very aware of here with this administration, as they are continuing to try to get back involved into this deal. Something we want to pray against. But then for Secretary of State, DOD, to be fully aware of what the Iranians are doing and capable of as they amass weapons of mass destruction right in front of our very eyes while we allow it to happen, to try to get back into their favor. Very alarming. And then something on a different note, shifting stories here, is the U.S. is set to launch a separate initiative from the Indo-Pacific initiative that we talked about last week with everyone in the Southern Pacific region except Taiwan. And now the current administration is really being forced by the public and its other allies to get back into relations with Taiwan economically. They're saying it's based upon trade in semiconductors. They're trying to make it about clean energy, supposedly labor rights, digital trade, to help with the supply chain coming out of China, technology, export controls and stuff. So we'll see. This on paper, it looks like a good thing. So look, when they do something that's good, we have to praise them and call out for when there's bad and when there's decisions that need to be made that should be proper. Let's pray they make the proper decisions. These are things that we've been praying for. Now, whether this actually goes through, follows through and is actually good for Taiwan, America, and the region is yet to be determined. You could still say, well, why don't we build semiconductors here in America? Why don't we do this stuff here? That would be a question to arise for business leaders, not just this administration. So this seems like on paper a good decision to build relationships. And he kind of has, President Biden and the administration has to, after he said how if China were to do something, they would be met with full force. So he kind of pigeoned himself into making this decision, and that's okay for the short term, and we'll see in the long term if they actually uphold to being a not only economic partner but military partner and standing for freedom in this nation of Taiwan as well as in America. So we want to continue to pray for this administration on the issues of Iran and China, that they have the fear of the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with these countries. And look, China could take this as an act of aggression economically. We learned yesterday with the story coming out of the Jerusalem Post that backs, and really just in the interview, a Taiwanese foreign minister, that now Israel will potentially be lowered on the trade scale with China because of one little article in talking about how China uses trade as a tactic of war to harm countries economically. And so, and more so a control factor than anything. So we're seeing these decisions being made by countries to whether say on the good side or bad side of China. And look, Chuck, in his Future War of the Church, warns about this, about how if we don't stand up to China, the world itself doesn't stand up to China. Then in the 80s, he saw that by 2026, that China would be the leading world power. Back and forth, I think we still have decisions that can be made. So something we want to be aware of. Now, shifting to more domestic news, we see from the current press secretary, Jean-Pierre, that President Biden, and I want to read these quotes because this is quite interesting to see, is that in the press briefing yesterday, she came out, Karine Jean-Pierre, and said that Biden does not support hardening schools, basically providing schools resources they need to be able to protect themselves. She said, I know there's been conversations about hardening schools. That is not something he, the president, believes in. He believes that we should be able to give teachers the resources to be able to do their job. And talking about how the problem we have in America is that of guns. And he's blaming the whole issue on guns. Now, what she's telling you here is, I know there's been conversations about hardening schools, meaning the president has been offered solutions other than taking away the Second Amendment and going after the Second Amendment right that is in the Constitution, which you don't have a First Amendment without the Second Amendment. This means, and because it can confirm this, that there have been other organizations, two separate commissions, one comprised of educators, second comprised of security expert, who have offered solutions other than banning guns to help prevent issues such as this. And the recommendations include numerous security measures, including controlled, basically ingress and egress, how people come in and out of schools, and more so making it a focal point to protect schools like you do stadiums, banks, Congress itself, the Supreme Court, etc. Locking doors, number two, what a shocker. Resource officers at schools, because the story around this is that the schools didn't have a resource officer, and if they did, that he was nowhere to be found. More, and again, Democrats and president alike are refusing to even consider these options. Even considering, he believes, is what she's the press secretary, that he believes. Why does he believe that? Based upon what? What evidence shows that this is the reason? And now you're seeing the school board in Uvalde and the local police are refusing to cooperate with the investigation from the higher officials in Texas on the school shooting. So this is very alarming. I want to pray for truth to come out here on this situation, more so for the family, so that they can understand what happened and have some closure on this situation, to make sure that they are fully aware, and more so that justice, if you want to talk about true justice being done here, you have to get to the bottom of this so that true justice can be brought forth, to understand who's responsible for this. And we've gone at length through this situation, so that's kind of the update on that. And the officials there, there's again, I've said it from the very beginning, I'm going to continue to say it. What we were told initially just didn't make sense. And even now, people with last Friday saying, the police chief saying, look, it was a wrong decision. It did not follow protocol. It did not follow training for the police officers to not go in. So now we're seeing the rift, which blows the whole gun narrative out the water, and why we don't need to go off of what we subjectively believe. And we have to go off of what the evidence says here for the president. So we want to continue to pray for him on that issue as well. Now, couple more things. Yesterday came out that out of the Wall Street Journal that President Biden met with Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. And Biden pledged to, quote unquote, respect the Fed and give it space to fight inflation. Now, President Trump kind of took a different relationship with the Fed, and other presidents as well have taken different relationships with the Fed to try to get them to keep the interest rates low or raise interest rates, depending on the state of the economy. And the Biden administration is claiming that things are good, the economy's good because the numbers say they're good. And they're taking the same narrative that the Trump administration did, saying the same thing. But it was a false flag, and even Trump understood this when he was campaigning in 2014, 15, and 16, that the economy was a false facade. It still is to this day. Just because he got in office and things looked good on paper does not mean that it actually changed, because the underlying fundamentals of the economy are not, being that it was built upon debt, government spending is out of control. And so I say all that to say, of the current administration is going to, quote unquote, respect the Fed because they have put in four of the now 12 sitting members of the Fed board. And so you're seeing with the new nominees, and it could have been more, and some of the people could have been people who had a lack of economic understanding, policy decision understanding. And what's interesting about all this is that as the president comes out and said he's going to respect the Fed, he's dogging or trying to dog, again, continuing Rick Scott's economic plan. But the more alarming thing here is that Janet Yellen has come out and said that she basically made a mistake on saying and not understanding last year that inflation was not a long-term threat. And she's basically eating her words and saying, well, I didn't think this. We quote unquote didn't understand this. And partially, I mean, you don't want to be too hard and say, but at the same time, you should have known. Other people knew this. Economists were aware of this, were telling you this, and you ignored them. Oh, that's not that bad. It's not that bad. But people were telling you it was, and now they're continuing to blame the war in Russia and Ukraine. And even China is causing a host of problems. And they're still kind of ignoring even what President Trump was doing of understanding the realities of how alarming our relationship with China is. And there are economists trying to persuade the president to remove the tariffs that President Trump put in, but they ultimately worked. And so it's a back and forth here. But for her to come out and say, this is very alarming, for her to say, well, we didn't understand. Well, your job is to understand. If you're here going to be making these decisions, let's pray that you hopefully understand this stuff. And she talks about the unforeseen events that exacerbated inflation. This is quite, it's a hard pill to swallow to sit here and say that, well, I'm in control. I know what we're doing. And here's the interesting thing is if Biden is saying, well, we need to respect the Fed. Well, the Fed shows that it doesn't have a grasp of this situation. You know, they're talking up the low, quote unquote, low unemployment numbers, but we're just getting back to where the market was before the slowdown in 2020 with COVID and the shutdowns and stuff. And even the CNN article talks about the continuing problems with the pandemic. This is what Jenny Yellen said. It's like, well, you're causing those problems. So let's wake up there. And part of, so there's that issue. It's kind of hard to respect somebody when they tell you one thing and what they tell you is completely wrong. It's a hard pill to swallow of saying we need to respect them, even though understanding they don't. And the Fed for a while has just not understood anything. I mean, probably going back to Paul Volcker in the 80s, the last Fed chair to really fully understand what was going on and what was needed and actually had the backbone to do it. President Biden talks about he may let that happen. I don't know. You got midterms coming up, so anything's up in the air. There. And then also he talks about in his plan, I'm going through some talking points there. He talked about the deficit being cut and praising that, because what he's going to start doing now is start going on the campaign trail, trying to talk up, oh, inflation's a good thing. Oh, this is good. This is good. The Green New Deal type stuff. Talking about that, but there's things that were done before him with Trump that have decreased the deficit. That's not him. He's going to try to put this on the Build Back Better and increasing revenue, but that's not necessarily the issue. He wants to do something on housing because of interest rates being so high, building affordable housing units, which most, depending on how they do it, will most likely not help, because they'll do it to where you have to be obedient to the government and not having the freedom to make decisions that you need. And then they're also, as he goes on this trail that he's going to start doing, a campaign trail of talking up the economy, he's going to play down the fears of recession and then also talk up the problems that China and Russia are causing. Even though the direct policy decisions on him, and not even considering the fact that he needs to open up leasing gas drilling abilities for the future to lower that. So we want to, the reason I bring this up is because when you have this narrative, this is going to start to be a focus of this administration, the economy. And as you get closer to the midterms, this is the economy and people's pocketbooks is the one thing that will awaken people, unfortunately. And when things are going well, like, all right, cool, it's going well, no problem. Got no problem with however any other things, just make it easy for me, is what a lot of voters tend to do. But now it's like, okay, now they're really going to start making decisions. So we want to pray for this administration. We need to intercede for current and future leaders to arise who have the fear of the Lord, understands the times and seasons we are in, and to use the wisdom and revelation from the Lord to clearly give them an understanding when they're making decisions for this nation. I'll clean that up before I post it. I didn't check it. It's a rough draft there. So I want to pray for these leaders to be aware of the times and seasons we are in. Use the wisdom and fear of the Lord and making sure that we're making that, because these people are making decisions that affect everyday people. And when they're doing, I believe, well, that I believe a lot of things, but I can't make decisions off of what I believe. I have to make calculated risks and make decisions off of what the evidence is showing me. But then also is listen to what the Lord's telling me on certain things. So we want to continue to pray there. And then some interesting news on the Supreme Court leak. I think this is, we need to be aware of this as we continue to pray for this Golden Court case. This is from exclusive from CNN. And the reason I'm pulling out CNN is, look, they're doing a good job. And sometimes they don't, but I read this article. This is actually a decent article. Probably about 85 to 90% of it is actual reporting. There's some quibs in there trying to throw down past administrations. But the story is that the Supreme Court is in the investigation. The marshal for the Supreme Court is asking clerks for phone records. And this is an unprecedented move, obviously, because, you know, phones are somewhat new and in modern history with modern technology. And as far as being able to have access to documents and things like that, secure documents. But the article goes on to point out that it might not have just been a clerk. CNN's reporting here, up to 75 different people, including the clerks for the Supreme Court justices, that had access to either a digital copy or a hard copy that were passed around of Alito's opinion. So, you know, we're honing in on these clerks. Well, it could have been a lot of people. There also could have been burner phones involved, possibly. Who knows? And so there's some clerks who were talking about getting legal counsel, which they have every right to do. But if you're innocent, what are you trying to hide is the question. Now, whether they're demanding it and trying to do it illegally, that's a different question. But even the CNN report, and I read a Business Insider report about this story as well, this is basically they're asking for voluntary turnover. One thing that's alarming is that in this, they're not talking about what time frames are you looking into. Are you looking into when Alito was done, finished, published, to the time it was leaked, maybe to a couple days after, to see communications between clerks and whoever they were communicating with, possibly. I mean, again, they're now understanding this story of if there's upwards of 75 people and possibly who knows where a hard copy was passed around, maybe that's how Politico got it. It's still very alarming that that got out, because it does harm the security and nature of the decision process being made on the Dobbs case and potentially other cases as well. So the Supreme Court and the investigators here have a tough task ahead of them as we get closer towards, now we're in June, of the release of the Dobbs case. They talked about June to July, so rulings are going to start coming out now, not only on this case, but other case as the Supreme Court ends its season, this year's season of putting out rulings that they have heard cases on. So I want to end there on an interesting note, a story to keep paying attention to as this investigation continues on with the Supreme Court and the leak involving the Dobbs case. And also, let's continue to check our emotions at the door when we read these stories and other stories in our everyday walk, and wait for the truth to come out. Sometimes, okay, you can hear something, especially if you watch, if it angers you, be of sober mind, be aware, and let's walk out the fruits of the Spirit, walk out the peace as we are called to. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as we've entered into this new day. All right, blessings. And don't forget, we have our Appeal to Heaven prayer time today at Christian Center Shreveport for those who are able to make it. And if not, we will be online on all of our platforms. So blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.